This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
There's a lot of defying logic here that happened here on the part of Jennifer Crumbly and the part of that school. And if you're that parent and you don't want to believe that your kid is capable of these sort of things, and you have supposed experts, this is where we're putting weight on other people's opinions, and, oh, well, maybe this isn't as bad as my initial reaction thinks it is. And you'd want to hear that if you're a parent and you're finding out your child's doing these things and these experts are saying, it's not as bad. You know, it's okay. You know, I can understand where she'd kind of maybe go with that. And it may not make the most sense to anybody else in that moment in time, but in that moment of, oh my God, but they're saying it's not that bad, I'm going to trust their judgment going down that road. In hindsight, yeah. I think she certainly looks back and goes, I should have done something different. But yeah, I mean, it's a weird, tough one to go on because it wasn't just her alone making that decision.
Yeah, you know, but ask the follow-up question of the counselor. Yep. What is your training?
Sure.
Like, that counselor had zero background yep. in child psychology. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's yep. like...
Just because one has a title doesn't mean they have expertise.
Right, because you're a counselor, that doesn't mean anything to me, yeah. man. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's what I mean. It wouldn't have mattered to me what anybody was saying to me. For me as a parent who's hyper-vigilant and who is always aware if my kids are, especially in the climate that we live in.
Yeah.
You know, if this is pre-Columbine, before school shootings were happening, seems like every other day. Fine. Then it's, you know, you're not even thinking that's a thing.
Yeah.
Now, where there's been 600 school shootings, where it's where our children are forced to go through, you know, like they have to go through the active drills. Shooter yeah. drills in your school. It's like, that wasn't a thing when we were kids, man. It was tornado drills for
yeah.
us.
Yeah. That was, you know, the like, worst that's what, of it.
Put your head down in between your lap. Now they like that is a constant fear. Mm-hmm. For parents, for school administrators, they now have school resource officers in schools for that reason explicitly. And, you know, there would just be no world in which I would not have taken my kid out, yeah. who's clearly, that was his last ditch effort at trying to get somebody to stop him. Like everybody failed that kid, man. Like that, yeah. like he is of course the bad guy in this because he took lives, but man, I mean like the kid was yeah. just failed by everybody. Like it shouldn't have happened. This one was so avoidable. Mm-hmm. Like they didn't look in the bag. How do you not look in the bag, Tony? The guy, the vice principal went, got his backpack, brought it into the office and no one looks in the bag.
Well, I guess that's another question here I'll raise, because I also want to talk about her husband a little bit, who's going to be tried here in a couple months. But what about the school administrators and things of that nature? Because it seems they missed quite a bit as well. Should they not also be on trial here for this as well? If we're going to go after Jennifer, why not go after the others who failed him as well?
Well, I mean, who do you try criminally? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like it's a school is an institution. Are you going to pick the counselor? Okay, we're going to go after the counselor who's not with the kid at home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He just sees him when he's in class. You know, it came out at trial that there were issues here and there that they weren't sending emails back to the house mm-hmm. and letting them know that there were some issues. I mean, she was obviously aware, again, really through the child, you know. At least, well, no, the school called with him searching for the bullets the day before, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, I don't know, like, and they sued civilly. They sued mm-hmm. the school civilly, which is a preponderance of the evidence burden, much lower burden than beyond a reasonable doubt in order to try to recover financially. And they were dismissed.
Yeah.
You know, which I think goes a long way towards what we've been talking about in terms of the culture and the mindset up in Michigan.
Sure, sure.
Oh, they just do things.
Let's talk about the father here, her husband, James, and the gun itself, because that was not purchased with Jennifer. We heard the testimony there that she was even unaware that they were going and buying another gun, didn't, you know, get approval, didn't have a conversation, just came home with the gun. And we have yet to hear, you know, his arguments and such when he gets to trial. But is there more weight over there? Is there more guilt, if you will, over there, or more culpability on his part for being the person who actually provided the weapon to the son?
Not under the statute, not under the law. Like, that involuntary manslaughter statute requires knowledge. They knew that he had issues, and they knew or should have known that those issues that he was having could result in great bodily harm or death of himself or other people. Mm-hmm. Like, they have to prove those things.
Yeah.
Like, what you know about cases like this is it's the state's attorney who elects which case they're going to try first. Now, they're not going to try the weaker of the two cases first. They believe that the case that they had against Jennifer was stronger. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact, I mean, they already had weapons in the house.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was their thought that because it appeared that Jennifer was the one that was in much more communication with Ethan as a general proposition, you know, that when they looked through the text messages, it was clearly a mom and son thing, you know, and that James wasn't the one that was texting the kid all the time, that it was mom, mm-hmm. you know? So I think there's a much weaker case against him for those incredibly important elements that must be proven in order to get the conviction. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like him buying the gun without him having any knowledge that the kid had any kind of mental issues going on, at least subjectively or objectively. I think it's a weak case, man. Like, if this comes back hung or not guilty, I don't know what they'll do with that. They may end up nolly prossing it, because it's just, you just know. That's what I'm saying. Like, state's attorneys, it's their choice. They get to elect which case they're going to try first. Mm-hmm. So they elected to go with the case against Jennifer. They're not going to start with the weaker of the two. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to start with the stronger case. So, and my point being that I just, if it comes back with one of those two results, I don't know what they'll do with that case. I don't even know if they'll move forward on it. Because it's a tougher case to prove.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.